this cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice, and I know why. It's because we only have 90 more minutes of this Premier League season before we finally stick a dagger in this Frankenstein of a year and put this bitch to bed, because another dark day at the office. United get battered. Battered like I got battered when I went to the Amex the first time. 4-0 against the Seagulls at the South Coast. So they ran out of meat pies because this team showed nothing. But really, it's kind of just like, let's put the season to bed. You know, Brighton had their day. They enjoyed themselves. We never showed up. Tell you what, this team needs defending lessons. They need midfield lessons. They need passing lessons. They need possession lessons. But we never even had a sniff of it in this one. But hey, 90 minutes closer to the end of this horrific season.
Look, shame on us. We said that we had found the spark on the last pod, and that was the death of Manchester United as we know it. Brighton hit four past Manchester United. Sir, I believe you ate four pies when we went to the Amex years ago. They matched the tally on the day. And look, as far as Brighton, Manchester United, we can slate them all day long. We can get fired up. But at the end of the day, season's over, done and dusted. The Europa League, Conference League, we're going to get into that a little later. It's really about Ten Hag coming in and what are the moves to be made. We're hearing about Rangnick airing out all the dirty laundry. I think him going to Austria is looking more like it wasn't a fit with Manchester United. They want to get him out. He's starting to spill all the dirty laundry. Wanted a striker, didn't get one. Seems to be showing that the emperor has no clothes with the board, and they didn't back him, and here we are at the end of a horrible season. How could you not sign another striker? There were options available. And same old from the Glazers. So my focus is more looking at the board, how this summer's going to go. Obviously not great watching this game, but I didn't have to get up at 4 in the morning. So that was a positive.
That was a huge positive. It was a 9:30 kickoff versus a 4:30 kickoff. I do like that Ralph Rangnick is going scorched earth on the way out, just literally salting the land in Carthage as the Romans sacked it again. There will be no crops growing here for 1,000 years. And you know what? Good for him, because you could tell they want him nothing to do with Ralph Rangnick in the front office. They want yes men. They got that in Darren Fletcher. They got that in John Murtough. They got that in Richard Arnold. And he ain't no yes man. He's a man that's done this before at multiple clubs that were in positions, you know, of a starting point, kind of like United is at this point right now. We need to start from ground zero. Open heart surgery. He's absolutely right. And he annihilated Jesse Lingard, like the bluffer, like VP bluffer, maybe only behind a couple other bluffers of this team. And he absolutely savaged the board. We talked about it in January, sir. How could you not reinforce the squad? Greenwood's gone forever. Martial got loaned out and Cavani's got glass knees. He's an old man. I mean, the real thing was they probably should have bought a CDM. That's what we were talking about. Zakaria went for free, I think, to Juve. But either way, sir, they don't want nobody who's going to be calling them out for all their shortcomings, because their shortcomings are not going to change. You know, we talked about in the last pod, they have been blaming Woodward for a lot of shit, which is a start. But at the end of the day, the Glazers are still owning this club. They are still collecting their dividend. They are still making the calls. And I think Erik ten Hag is going to be like every other manager, walking in with two hands tied behind his back. Hopefully he knows how to headbutt.
Well, you have to look at it from a fan perspective. If you go to Ed Woodward's making the decisions at the time, he did leave. Also, apologies for my voice. I'm on the mend. I caught a bug last week. It's been a rough one for me. Shout out to all the parents who listened to the pod. I had no nanny, sick for a week with two kids. Oh, it's a rough one, but I am here. Pod never sleeps. As far as I was thinking, the decision to do the interim manager kind of kicks the can. Then you could have strengthened in January. There were midfield options available. Then the board's excuse is, oh, we didn't want to spend the money because it would come out of the summer budget. But at the same time, couldn't you run for top four and then get $100 million if you make Champions League? Either way, the decision of the interim manager really kicked all this down the line. So what has the last 6-7 months been for? And the answer is nothing. And that is the vision that the Glazers have for this club. Absentee owners, interim manager, new CEO with no plan. And the only plan is to just kick the can, let the cash coffers get stacked so the Glazers can take more money out. Because the reason we didn't buy a number nine in January is we don't have a lot of money for this summer. And if they hire a manager who's now full-time Erik ten Hag and they don't give him a big budget, he's going to be pretty pissed. So the fine margins at Manchester United, it's just it's a tough picture to paint. But that's why we have the 1958, the fan protest. I think that's gained momentum. And this summer will be huge for hashtag Glazers Out, because even the Chelsea sale is being affected by how bad the Glazers are owned, how bad of owners the Glazers are.
Yeah, we could have used that legislation 18 years ago when the FA just allowed the most storied franchise, the most storied club in the country to be sold to ghouls, to literally like vultures. And you know what? They were going to protect Chelsea. That's a laugh. Barely a club, but hey, better late than never. But that being said, sir, my concern at the end of the day is that the season's a wrap. Like you said, I like the excuse factory on their end, right? The Simon Stones of the world saying, before it was, we don't know who the next manager is going to be. That's why we're not signing players. That's what they told us in January, if you remember. It wasn't about budget. It was like, well, we don't know who the next man is going to be, so we wouldn't want to sign somebody. It's about money. The club is broke. The club has been brought to its knees financially by poor ownership, really. Just greedy owners that all they care about is taking as much money out of this club as possible. They have succeeded in that mission. They have taken a lot of money off the top. They didn't skip a dividend throughout a two-year pandemic that affected the sport, affected the global economy. Doesn't matter to them. And right now, sir, they ain't watching. They know we're not going to make top four, but hey, maybe they'll uptick the revolver. But at the end of the day, they have no interest in changing their way. They're not going nowhere. Like, Erik ten Hag revolution, I'll tell you what, this summer is going to be the same shit all over again. Doesn't matter if Matt Judge is gone. Doesn't matter if Ed Woodward is gone. So they're like, we're promoting Darren Fletcher. Darren Fletcher is well-equipped to be a technical director. I heard he likes to hop into practice sometimes, hey, sir. That was the biggest riot, was that Ralf Rangnick was also telling more honesty a couple weeks ago. I don't even think we talked about this. Was that like, he doesn't know what Darren Fletcher does. And also Darren Fletcher, like, he yelled at him for not giving instructions like behind his back on the during games. Like, what are you doing, dude? I don't even know what you do. Why are you telling my players what to do on the pitch? And also how he like hops in game time, not game time, in coaching sessions, in practice. He'll just like hop in if they're a man down. I'm like, play, bro. I think like he has to act like he's a professional. He's actually in the technical part of the team and not a player coach. But hey, what do I know?
Darren Fletcher is basically me if I own Manchester United. I'd just be on the touchline. I'd be in training, just having a blast. This is my team. But let's get into it. Quick PSA for the podcast. You like the American Red Devils. We are for fans, by fans. You want to support us, check out our Discord channel. We have an invite to our Discord channel on Twitter and our website, www.americanreddevils.com. We have great match day chat. Fans talking about everything football, including MLS, etc. Please join up. Meet some Muppets like us. It is a great time on the chat. Today, it was pretty rough. A lot of laughs, a lot of memes. There you go. That's what Manchester United is at the moment. Meme. Also, check out our Patreon page. This is one of the best ways to support the podcast. We don't have any sponsors on the pod. It's just me and Alex. We do it ourselves for the love of the game. And the best way you can support us is via Patreon. Check out our page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We do a behind-the-scenes podcast episode every single month, and we give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. Please check it out. Support the podcast. Also, check out our website. I mentioned it earlier, www.americanreddevils.com. Great blog content, and we have an awesome store. Everything you buy supports this small-time operation. Independent content for the win.
For fans, by fans, sir. We got none of that Glazer bias. We're not going to spin zone it ever. We're only going to tell you like it is. And that's why it's so important to support the American Red Devils. No sponsors, like you said. So join our Patreon. Join our Discord. If you're interested in writing for the blog, reach out to us. And even better, if you want to support the pod and not spend any money, great way to do so is write a review, a 5-star review, either on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to American Red Devils. And even better, we're still giving away free merch. Yours truly, sending out merch all over the globe. All you have to do, write a 5-star review wherever you listen. Send a screenshot of that to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear. Send it right to your door. Sir, is this season over yet? Because I'm ready for it to be.
But there's a really good point, sir. We talk about independent fan content. It is really important. We have no ties to sponsors or the club, and we can call it like it is. And at this time for Manchester United, it is so important. there is a reason why so many of the American Red Devils know about the green and gold and our Glazers out, because we hold our ownership to account. This summer, this new manager, this process running again, the stadium upgrade, everything, we will have it all covered here. But we've called out the lies from the owners before, and the spin you're talking about just won't stop. So at the end of the day, it's like, yes, could Fletcher and Murtaugh and everyone figure it out and everything come up roses? Sure, but that's a pretty low percentage chance when you see the spin in January why we're getting to a striker, and then this summer, and then wait till you hear the spin about why we're not getting as many players as we need. Obviously, it's open-heart surgery, like Rainick said. It's unbelievable. Remember, we didn't get Holland because of agent fees? Apparently, it was the sell-on clause. Woodward lied about that. Richard Arnold learned how to lie from Eddie Woodward. So we're here to hold the club to account. And it's important that we're independent, because we're not asking for press passes. We're not asking for favors like other journos in England. And we have to be calling it like we see it here with our owners, because it is getting to a point where this summer's going to be huge. Hashtag Glazers out. Everyone be ready to go. Boycotts, everything. I think this summer is going to be huge when fans see what the owners have to offer Erik ten Hag for coming into Manchester United.
Because like you said, we've had, I mean, the wrong appointment or stopgap appointments, like, you know, Ole just kind of giving something as a shield from the board for a player, a legend of the club that you knew the fans wouldn't tear apart too quickly. The players certainly threw him by the wayside. But you have a club builder. Also, you brought in a club builder in the former Ralph Rangnick, who they don't want to listen to because he's too honest and he calls out the mistakes they made. He's going to be thrown out the door. He's going to hang out in Salzburg or wherever in Austria. Have a great time. Join that fresh alpine air in those mountain lakes. I'm sure he might be complaining. I would too. I would get the fuck out of Manchester United as quick as I could, because the Glazers are not serious owners. And unfortunately, we're not a serious club as long as we're owned by people like them, have the executives that are making decisions like we do. We will not be a serious club. I'm rooting for Erik ten Hag. But like you said, we should be spending like $250 million net this summer. And we'll be lucky if we spend $100 million net.
It's not about the amount of money. For me, it's not about the amount of money. It's about the intention in the market and being able to basically move bodies out and get bodies in practically, right? So I don't care if you're able to get some midfielder on a free or take a punt on a loan to sign. I just need to get rotation out of this squad. Get the people that are the problem out and freshen it up. And I just haven't seen our front office be that nimble. Usually we're extending deals to people who don't deserve them, and then bringing in like one big deal and then peppering in some other items around it. And this is what we've gotten. Speaking of what we got, we're watching the Scouse Bastards play against...
Come on, Spurs!
Tottenham Hotspur. Never been rooting for Tottenham harder than I am now. It is the 51st minute. It's still 0-0.
For now.
For now. So we shall know the result live on this podcast. But now, this is what our season's about. It's basically rooting against our rivals in every competition possible. So let's just hope that they bottle the title, because NBC LFC already has a quadruple watch out, and they haven't won one item on the list.
They won the League Cup.
They won the... What? Does that count?
That counts.
That counts.
So that's the fourth one.
Okay, so if you win the League Cup, the Champions League, and the League, is that a treble technically? I don't think so.
No, the actual treble is FA Cup.
I know. So League. How can you say the quadruple watch then? You know, it's like...
Sir, NBC Sports, they're in Kentucky. That's how serious they are covering sports. They're doing a goddamn horse race.
You couldn't make
really
it up.
It's about hats and alcohol.
It's literally like, like, I don't know, maybe people like NBC, but they're literally at the Kentucky Derby. The B team, the B broadcast booth is in Kentucky Derby with the hats and then trying to sell you the quadruple for the Scouse Bastard. That's all you need to know about the state of it. Look, NBC did it right coming in, and they're all this cross-promoting and everything. I think they're just trying to make money off Peacock, and they're desperate for it because this stuff doesn't make any sense.
Well, they have their alliances, and you could tell even in the last 5-6 years, they've always kind of, the team, whoever's in charge of making decisions at the executive level at NBC Sports and putting the talent in and talking about the messaging, they hate United. They've hated United. It's very obvious.
Of course, but I'm just saying, like, if you think of Sky Sports and you think of, like, talking
they're
about
more neutral.
The Premier League, they're not going to, like, mix it with a horse race, you know?
It's No, it's, like, all about soccer, and they're literally covering...
I feel like it dilutes it. They shouldn't treat this like a way to sell other stuff. That's what they're doing with it. I think it cheapens it a little bit.
Like a horse race that they bought the right, overpaid for the rights for, and they have to act like it's a big deal still?
Exactly. The Super Bowl as well, they did it. But we can go on NBC all day. I think we're just trying to avoid the topic
talking
at hand, which is Brighton and Albion,
4-0.
4-0. Manchester United. at this is at the Amex, the famous place where Alex ate 40 meat pies.
Six pies. It goes higher every day. I thought it was two.
42.
No, it was eight. I ate them out. I'll tell you what, they had no pies left.
Yeah,
no
you went pies back. Left. They were like, no, we're out. Let's get that lineup. Dave Saves World number one in net. Tellis at left back. Lindelof, Ferran, center back pairing. Deleau at right back. Matic, McTominay, midfield. Mata, Bruno, Elanga, and then Ronaldo up top. What did you make of this lineup? No changes from Ralph.
I mean, you called it. I had to give it to you, John. You called this 11, said, hey, stick with what worked last time. We did get the win today. You'd think this team could hold their own. They looked more compact. They looked like they had their shit together. You know, we all felt confident in Maguire. Our fullback still can't defend. They showed that today. But you would have hoped they would do better because we came out and looked like we were playing Liverpool.
No, the same thing did happen, though, in the match prior where the start was kind of
like
shaky.
10 minutes.
But then I think this is kind of its open game. And then obviously first goal, 15th minute, Brighton.
Tellis with a header away. March is in there trying to make life difficult. And he can just set it up for Pascal Gross. Now for Caicedo. What a good strike. Moises Caicedo with his first Brighton Hove Albion goal. And it is one that might well mathematically condemn Manchester United to a season outside the top four. His manager applauds.
So apparently we're not mathematically out of top four yet. So that's news to me. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure we've been.
We were, again, Caicedo, a cheap Ecuadorian midfielder that we were linked to in the past. Looks pretty good if we did not sign him. So, you know, that one comes back to bite us. But look, Brighton, they looked up for a match. And again, United just came out a little flat today.
I mean, you could talk about the defending. You talk about the clearance from Tellis. You could talk about no one closing him out. We've seen goals like this that have been, I mean, look like, what's his name, with his leg spread open, like ridiculously, and Lindelof. But my frustration is this, sir. This is a player that joins the list of the, I mean, he's probably not the highs of these other players, but the Camavinga, who just looked lights out for Real Madrid, or what's his name? Obviously, Haaland, you talked about him. The other youngster, the English youngster that we missed from Birmingham City. Bellingham, sir. These players, this was much cheaper. He was £12 million, traded this winter. We needed a CDM. The same way, we'll talk about it a little bit later, as Ralph says, hey, we needed a striker, and Spurs just scored. That's also good.
Tottenham scored!
But really is like, dude, we should have signed Moyes Caicedo. We needed CDMs. We need midfielders. He was a good price. He was well-rated. And you know what? He looks like a Premier League player because he beat us up in midfield all day. Him and Basuma, dude, we got smoked today. We got our asses kicked in midfield, partly because playing Mata and Matic, and they probably can't play two games in a week. But that's the big thing, sir, is Moyes Caicedo would be a player that we would have if we had a serious club. We also would have bought a striker over January. But at the end of the day, we're a financial instrument. We're a wealth extraction tool for the Glazer family, and that's that.
No, that's well said, and you know we've been linked to a lot of all-stars, and these midfielders were cheap.
Cheap.
A lot of midfielders are cheap. He was one of them. Camavinga was cheap as well. 28th minute, Welbeck with a decent chance as United defenders are sleeping. It kind of went this way in the first half. 43rd minute, Varane with another bad giveaway, but Welbeck chips it over. Thank God Danny Welbeck was up top for them because he should have had a few bangers today if he was in better form. Obviously, everyone knows Danny Welbeck, Manchester United, sir.
They spent $5.5 million, sir. They spent less money on Moyes Caicedo than we spent on Facundo Pellistri, who will never play a senior game for this club. So there you go. Front office right there. Give this guy, give John Martin a raise.
Yeah, that is it's a great point. The case study in signing Facundo right wing, signing Ahmad right wing, then signing Jadon Sancho on the right wing, all in two summers without addressing the midfield. Made no sense, honestly. All right, we had Tottenham with their goal. They're up on the Scouse bastards. Jurgen Klopp looks nervous on the touchline here. It's what you like to see. I see the Discord chat popping on my phone. Shout out to all the America Adults on Discord. They're watching. Everyone is hoping. The problem with Tottenham having a goal is that
Ballers.
It makes them nervous.
Right?
So that you like the nil-nil. Because, and as soon as the Scouse bastards get one, they're getting two. Yep. All right, let's get into the second half. Second half subs. From Rangnick, he saw it. Fred and Cavani on for Matic and Elanga. Surprised he didn't answer Jesse Lingard's brother's social media post and put him in here. And then the obviously bench. We just fell apart. Let's get into it. 49th minute.
Throw. Well, Beck couldn't get there. Trossard can, pulling it back for Kukure. And he also breaks his Brighton duck in some style. An afternoon that's gone from bad to worse for Manchester United. A miserable
bad to worse. The defending was absolutely horrific for Manchester United. It's unbelievable how bad the defending was on this goal here. 2-0. And then, obviously, sir, let's just keep
going,
hammering through.
Keep going. You can't even lay into him yet. You can't even lay into him. Keep going.
57th minute. I have no sound here. Wrong one. Oh, we're going to replay it because this is a banger of a goal. This is a banger of a goal here.
Goal between them. It's a lovely touch, though, from the Spaniard. Trossard putting it in. It's gross.
That's true. I'll tell you what, Varane just got done. Varane got absolutely done dirty by that pass from Trossard. And then the 1-2 shovel from Gross. I mean, they show Ronaldo, they show the fans. Everyone's just like, ah, we're good. Then Rangnick just kind of like, I got one more.
Off to Austria. I can't wait. He's probably pumped.
All right, 3-0 at this point.
And, it is again.
Boy, do we concede a lot of goals real quick together here.
Who are we, City?
60th minute here.
Gross. It's Welbeck. A deft little clip. Bottled over the line for four. He scored twice in 90 seconds. Brighton fans in ecstasy. A golden hour in their history. For Manchester United, it is an ignominious chapter in a terrible campaign.
Terrible. Nice day.
Message to Eric Ten Hag. You might want to have a good look at this game.
Dude, Varane again. He's like, oh my God. Look,
how much we pay him?
Rough day at the office for him. Look, this is just get out of my club stuff, honestly. Like, you know, the DeLo, this is just get out of it. Just,
I mean, he's not good enough. We know it. I don't want to bash him low, but we know he's not
going to get out of my club.
He's not going to for the Premier League. Unfortunately, neither is Telles. So we need four new fullbacks. Here's the real thing. The defending, we can talk about it all day. Not closing down, lazy, half defending. Like, we've conceded
unorganized
40 goals this year like this. The same goals. You know, just like cut open, no response. Like half the team just checked out. I'm going to bring it back to big picture shit, bro. It's like Brighton are a minnow of a club run 10 times better than we are. They've got a brand new stadium. It's beautiful. We can learn a thing or two. They had one of the best, not one of the best, but a fine DOF hitting above his weight, so they made really good signings, right? Bosuma, Trossard, dude, there's like a lot of good signings they made on the cheap. And guess what? Big money Newcastle, now that they're Bonesaw FC, they picked up their DOF, sir. They didn't pick up no reject from David Moyes' backroom staff who like knows how to say the right things around the board. They know what to do. They're a proper club and they're hitting above their weight. And imagine what we could do with a proper front office and proper ownership.
Yeah. So Dan Ashworth is who built Brighton and Hove Albion. He came out of England. He also spent some time with England as well. He is going to Newcastle, right? This is a director of football that, once again, you have to talk about the talent we're passing up. Dan Ashworth would come to Manchester United if we wanted him.
Oh, yeah.
You look at the squad that Brighton has built, how well he has done. By the way, they've also been selling players for a huge gain as well. Ben White comes to mind, and Ashworth's going to Newcastle. So a guy who Manchester United could get, who's done a great job, we have passed up, and that is really part of the problem here at Manchester United. It is tough for us to watch these goals. It makes me mad. Makes me want to slate these players, sir. I have to like woo-saw, calm it down a little bit here. 63rd minute, Cavani forces the keeper to a good save. Forgot he was on the team.
It's a good header. It could have been a goal on a different day, but
we did kind of come back after the four. The four goals kind of woke us up here. We kind of looked like we wanted to try to score a goal. 65th, Brighton hit the post. United should be down 5. 70th minute sub, Maguire for Mata. That's the sub we needed. How does he get put in the game versus a youngster? 72nd minute, Maguire with a decent header from a corner. He did almost score. Good save. That was it. Manchester United lose.
You put another defender in. We almost conceded a fifth. That's why Maguire went in. They're like, we got to shore up shop. I can't leak seven before I go up to Austria.
Is there like a rage quit option? Yeah. Like in FIFA? Over. Just to be like, I'm out after four. Stats, shots, Brighton had 17 to our 15. On target, 6-5. We had 58% of the ball to Brighton's 42%. But man, they cut through us. That stat of them scoring two goals in 90 seconds, that shows you. You look up soft mentality in the dictionary, it will tell you teams that concede multiple goals very quickly because they've lost the plot.
And we're at that, you know. Like, we want to laugh about our rivals. Yeah, that's what we're doing from a position of weakness because we ain't got nothing else. Right, we're going to root against Liverpool.
That's what you
do. Laugh at City. Hey, number one Real Madrid fan for the final is you and I. You know, the only kind of glimmer of hope this season is the UEFA Youth Cup coming up next week. Shout out Wednesday. Kicks off 11:30. Should be on MUTV. They've already sold 50,000 plus tickets, and they're playing Nottingham Forest. Big game, but like I said, at the end of the day, sir, we're not a serious club. We're not a serious club, and we're not going to be a serious club until someone else buys us and they don't allow dividends. I love how like the new owners for Chelsea aren't allowed to do dividends. What about retroactively? Can they change that
for
rule?
10 years is the rumor regulation there. Interesting. We're going to get into the Chelsea news later, and we might need to change their name because now that Abramovich doesn't own them, we might need to drop the Chelsea. We'll put it to a poll here.
Who's buying them?
Some fun facts about this loss.
Fun facts.
Fun facts. Exactly what
fun
we need here.
John and Alex.
Manchester United have conceded 4-plus goals in 12 Premier League games since Sir Alex Ferguson retired, as many as they did in the 810 Premier League games under Sir Alex Ferguson. You know why? Because there ain't no soft mentality. Brighton's 4-0 win over Manchester United saw them secure their biggest ever top flight win in their history, in which was their 356th match at this level. Oh, these stats are great. Manchester United's defeat leaves them on 58 points with just one more Premier League game remaining this season, guaranteeing that the 21-22 season will see their lowest ever points total in a campaign in the competition, which was previously 64. And guess what? 13-14, sir. What was 13-14?
Moisey.
David Moyes, who genius. Was rage kicking a ball at a ball girl.
Insane. On the sideline. Yeah, he looks like he's up for it.
Yeah, in the Europa League. And Manchester United have conceded 56 goals in the Premier League this season, their most in a single campaign in this competition. Obviously, Premier League.
Modern era,
right? So we have been worse, but those were the 70s.
We have been worse.
But this is, we're talking multiple decade lows for Manchester United here, and lows within the post-Sir Alex Ferguson regime, and a billion spent, and the stadium rotting. And this is what the Glazers have left this club in. All right, we're going to check in with Ralf Rangnick, the manager. Let's see what he had to say about this mess.
I think to start with, it's important that we apologize to our supporters who came all the way from Manchester here to Brighton. Yeah, we were just not good enough from start to finish. The performance was not only poor, it was extremely poor. We knew that even from our first game that we played at home in the first half, that Brighton is a very flexible technical team, always trying to play through your lines and to be creative. So we knew that it was not enough to just enjoy yourself in possession of the ball. The problem was we were not that often in possession of the ball. In order to be in possession, we should have won the ball, but we gave them far too much space and time. And at halftime, if we're honest, the only good thing was the result for us. It was only 1-0. So at halftime, for me, the question was, what are we going to do? Bring on two new players, that was clear, but do we change the formation into a 3-5-2, or do we take the risk to play in a 4-4-2, which we did in the end? In hindsight, maybe that was a little bit too much of a risk. I take responsibility for that if that was the case, but I think in general it was just the problem that we had in earlier games at Everton, for example, at Liverpool, although I must say this is still a different level again. We just were not good enough in defending as a team and taking the ball away from the other team. This is just was just our biggest problem today, and that's why we also didn't create that many chances. The only The only time in the game when we had chances ourselves was in the last 20 minutes when we were playing in a 3-5-2.
Now, supporters seem to suggest that the majority of the players don't care, and the results would suggest that is the case as well. Are you at that conclusion now that it's just an uncaring bunch?
No. No, I have to defend the players here. I don't think that they are. I mean, I saw them in training. I saw them against Brentford. Again, after beating Brentford at home, also a team who are not that bad in possession of the ball and who had quite a few good results. For me, it was clear not to change anything, not to change that winning team. And we had a good week of training with good atmosphere, with focus on the training sessions. But as I said, I mean, I remember me watching the game against Watford away 4-1, who are now relegated, and this looked very similar to what happened today. For me, the problem is how to defend as a team. And in this league, if you play against good teams, and Brighton is a good team, if you do not defend properly, if you just let them play, if you give them all the space and time in the world, this is the result.
Ralph Rangnick for the third goal.
Ralph Rangnick, giving it, I mean, he tells you like it is. He did defend the players. He said they care. But, you know, his analysis is spot on. It's this team has just kind of been like that way ever since Watford. And, you know, that's where Ole went bye-bye.
It's right. And you know what? You could give him criticism where criticism due. Everyone can agree that, like, probably he's not the best appointment from a tactical standpoint to be on the pitch line. He should be in the front office. He looks good in the sweater. Sweater game is on point, sir. He looks like the guy who should be like running things in the front office. But that being said, he acknowledges the formation was a mistake. That, you know, he got it wrong there. He probably should have done back three. But at the end of the day, and he also defended the players, defended the fans, apologized to the fan. Everything that we want, honestly, representing the club, even if it might not be as the head coach. So I'll be very disappointed when we do. I know it's coming. When we see Ralph go, it's going to be a bad sign. Because it just kind of speaks to the lack of change that the Glazers are willing to make. But it is what it is. He knows this team is just in a sad state, sir. It's been an awful season. You read through the stats. Worst season in the modern era. It felt like that. You know, it did feel that way. 13-14, just because of the highs of winning the season on the previous. Obviously, the RVP being like golden boot winner. And then, you know, Ferguson retiring. But this is as bad as it's felt because... You can say all you want about how excited we are around Erik ten Hag. It's like, look at the people around them. It's like, we're still talking about the same bunch of morons.
Yeah, well, I think the point that you keyed in on that makes the most sense are like just trying to look at the decision-making from the board level as well as the chief executive, whether it's Ed Woodward or Richard Arnold, is they brought in Ralph Rangnick, who hasn't managed in a decade. But you know what? He's a club builder. So bringing him in to be the coach of Manchester United makes sense because you say, okay, let's get this guy in. He is going to help us find the next guy. He's going to help us assess the squad. He also knows a lot of good players because he's in the front office. He knows who to sign. He could probably help us with that whole process. So the idea of him being our coach and then being a consultant for 2 years, we loved it because it made total sense for, okay, 6 months, let's have him just make a big assessment. He's obviously not going to be probably the best manager on the touchline to get the best out of these lads. I would argue like Conte probably was that, but the Glazers kind of sold us the long-term view. But instead they bring in Rangnick and they don't want him.
They don't listen to him.
So this is a waste of 6 months. So you bring in a guy who hasn't managed in a decade and you're basically going to boot him out and you helped him get a job at Austria. That's like all we did. And you're not going to take any of his recommendations or you're not going to like put him in the front office. The only way any of this work over the last 6 months gives any benefit going down the line is if he's put in the front office in a position like the director of football or technical director and like helps us plan for the future. And he's not doing that. And it sounds like Ten Hag's coming in and they haven't even talked yet. He doesn't even know if he's going to plan to talk to Ten Hag. And he's telling us like he sees it in the pressers. And that's what you got to love is because he's literally open kimono to the point where the Glazers are having to like have Simon Stone spin the narrative the other way because he's too truthful. Like he said, it's open heart surgery. And then they're putting out pieces in ESPN saying,
No.
It's not open heart surgery.
No.
This club is spinning the feedback that Rangnick is giving them. Think about that. And then you want them to change. I think this is a key window into the mind of the board and what they're going to do. They're more worried about the narrative than they are actually rebuilding this club. And that's a shame, an absolute shame.
And that's what the message is like, don't
think that these people have changed just because they've told everybody that, hey, we're going to do things differently. We fired Ed Woodward, Matt Jughead Judge, his shit's out. We fired all these scouts. They're all out. They're not changing because, like you said, appointing Ralph instead of Conte, if you're trying to, if you're trying to like think long term and not get the instant impact now that you would get, which it makes sense. I did see, but only if you're willing to listen to the man and have him be like, all right, smell out the squad, see who's worth it, who's not, and then help us kind of build to the better future that we all want to get at. And instead, it's like he's crawled out everything. Like, I don't even know what Darren Fletcher does. And then all of a sudden, Darren Fletcher's like, oh, well, you know what I do. Everybody knows what I do. This is what I'm doing. Like, they don't want to hear what he's trying to say. I'm sure they don't like hearing that. We'll talk about it in the news, sir, that he's like, hey, I wanted to sign a striker, and they laughed me off the pitch. So they're not really serious about changing for the better, and it's going to be more of the same. So we just have to be focused on getting the Glazers out, because until they do, we will suffer as a club, as a fan base, and as a football institution. We will suffer as long as they continue to take the dividend and just don't give a shit about us at all.
All right, the Scouse Bastards have equalized in the 74th after a lucky deflection. Diaz, another player that they purchased in January that was on the table for Manchester United to get, has put them even here. With a lucky deflection. You hate to see it at the shitbox, sir. I'm a little nervous here. Tottenham, can they hold?
Bombers, bro. Look,
I'll tell you, they get deeper and deeper and deeper. They're drowning right now in the 75th minute. And getting into the table here, obviously, Shitty have not played their 35th game. So they are technically right now behind Liverpool in the live table at 83 points because of goal differential. Scouse Bastards in first 83 points. Obviously, if this game stays, we shall keep you posted here. Chelsea, 35 games played, 67 points. Arsenal, 34, 63. Tottenham, 35, 62. Manchester United, here we are, 37 points, 37 games, 58 points. West Ham, 35, 52. Wolves, 50 on 35. Now, if West Ham wins both games in hand, they will be at 58, tied with us.
They have a better goal differential.
They have a better goal differential. That would put us into Conference League. If Wolves did the same, they would be at 56. So that's kind of where this is shaping up. Obviously, we have one game left. They have three. We shall keep you posted. A lot of games to be played until that fateful Crystal Palace away match that the American Red Devils are going to. Either way, my focus is on the Scouse Bastards and hoping they drop points so they do not win the title. I don't think I can handle them tying us on 20 league titles. That's the status of being a Manchester United fan. Banter FC for the moment, but you got to be enjoying it.
I mean, it's all we got because they could win. 20 is probably the biggest concern of the season, them winning number 20. They could also pick up
with
seven.
Diaz, too, a player that they got in January.
Konate, like that, like, that center back's pretty good.
For a penalty here.
They bought a left back who's really good from Fulham for like cheap. And that's what shows when you have a proper front office of people that are supposed to be there, that have earned their right to be there.
I'll tell you, I can't handle a 4-0 Brighton and then the Scouse Bastards come back. I can't handle that. We might have to rage quit the pod, actually. I'm like watching this game. It's so nervy. All right, let's get into it. United in the news.
And we got news.
Sorry, I'm so nervous watching this game.
Shouldn't be.
I know. It's 77th minute. Kings. 1-1. Oh, Tottenham
are going to fall, bro. They're
like a boxer in the ropes. Can he get to the 90th minute? All right, let's focus here. Speaking of Banter FC, Paul Pogba could join Manchester City.
Awesome.
BBC Sport.
Simon Stone, your boy.
Simon Stoney. Oh, my God. Say it ain't so. Paul Pogba, Manchester United legend.
Legend. Sir, this is them trying to bait us into giving him a renewal. That's it. We've seen this movie before. We saw it with Fred. We saw it with Harry Maguire. And now we're going to see it. And Alexis Sanchez. Holy shit, they've done it to us a lot. Don't do it again, sir. I mean, it worked with Ronaldo. That was the right move. Let City sign Paul Pogba. You can have him. Sign him for a 5-year contract. You'll do great. I'm sure it'll be the difference maker you need. Sign him up. Please, Pep, sign him.
So, I mean, obviously, Mino Raiola,
rest
his soul. You know, he he's got a B team, I'm sure, that's helping Paul Pogba. They're
back in business. They're back in business.
Here's the problem about Paul Pogba, right? What do you? He won the World Cup in 2018, right? So it's almost 4 years later. And, you know, your shine kind of goes down, right? He has not played well for Manchester United. Like, no matter how you cut it, you might be able to get really creative with certain stats, but, like, he's been a bust completely. We paid a lot of money for him. He's got the big brand. He's got the big name. He's got the Instagram followers. He's got everything. But at the end of the day, the performance is on the pitch. You can't go missing in big games for Manchester United. You have to be like the all-star player and the team's getting you down. He's not that. He's one of the issues at Manchester United, and there is no big money offer for him.
No one wants to pay him. Nobody's going to pay him what we were
like
willing
Haaland
to pay him.
Is killing it at Dortmund. Dortmund isn't winning everything, but he's absolutely like their best player by a mile. Everyone's going to pay up for him. Paul Pogba, this should be a big contract for him. This is probably his last big deal. And like I said, no one's going to pay, and he's going to have an issue with this. And this is the problem. Like, people will pay for Paul Pogba. It's not going to be what Manchester United are currently paying him. And this is the problem, which is he's going to have to admit that, you know, that big ego that he has is going to take a little bit of a hit, because the check, you can go to PSG, but it's going to be 200K.
Not 500K. Like, apparently the lunatics in the front office are still just trying to keep that Ed Woodward policy going of extend contracts. Now, obviously, this is not a Phil Jones, but Paul Pogba is a bust in a long line of busts.
No, but it's not about him being... It's about how he just always thought United is the problem, kind of like Tony Martial, and then like he realizes, like, oh, I've been playing well, and nobody wants to buy me for a lot of money. So the money was never there for Paul Pogba, so it's funny seeing his team now, Mino, whoever, his
Ghost
son, or, you know, et cetera, lawyer, just grabbing at straws, and there's no big deal out there. Like, you would think that Paul Pogba leaving on a free would be, like, huge clubs in, big money on the table, and there's, like, crickets. Absolute crickets for Paul Pogba. And him going to shitty, love it.
Awesome. Great news.
Absolutely love it. You want to go work hard in a midfield? Yeah,
never gonna
go
happen.
For it. Yeah, I am absolutely fine, because I know that you will not work hard and you'll be a problem. It's the same thing. Shitty would be the worst place for him to go.
They're
PSG
baitless.
Would be the... PSG is exactly
right
where
on brand. Because Real Madrid's too good. PSG is...
Real
just...
Madrid? I think Real Madrid and PSG are the two teams that he should be playing in.
He couldn't get into the 11 at Real Madrid. PSG is just a squad of bloated... Not has-beens, but Neymar is like an over-the-top... Over the hill, if you will. Pogba would fit right in. Just like bloated squad. They've got an absurd front office. Apparently their DOF is a maniac. And that's why Tuchel left. That's why, I mean, I'm not going to say that's why Poch has done poorly. I think Poch just doesn't have it. But I want the Paul Pogba era to be over. You know, it's like he's kind of a symptom, not the root cause. But he just speaks to like how we've approached players. We never should have brought him back in the first place. The player to sign, the World Cup winner to sign that window was N'Golo Kante, bro, who's like 10x the player and was a third of the cost and doesn't get injured. Paul Pogba misses every other game, maybe shows up every fourth game. And I just want this to be over because go with Jesse
Lingard.
Him
going to, we talked about Ronaldo. Ronaldo going to shitty. We're like heartbroken, right? Paul Pogba goes to shitty. Like, I love that.
Oh yeah,
I like him going full Tevez because we knew you were a traitor all along.
Day one,
like so. At the end of the day, like just do it and just.
It'd be amazing. I'd root for him. I'd love to go to City. Go play with Grealish.
No, I actually don't. Like, I honestly don't mind this at all. I because like he won't get a game.
No, he won't.
And then he'll just be on social media doing the same thing he's doing now.
His brothers will complain.
Yeah, exactly. And so just let the circus continue, and then just laugh.
It with like? Did you ever see her like? Wayne Rooney or Roy Keane or Vieira or their brothers complaining about like real top class talent doesn't have like their siblings complain in the press. So like this whole Jesse Lingard and his brother bitching about classlessness, which we'll talk about in a second, or we've heard from every Pogba in the Pogba family over the years, the disrespect and blah blah blah, and how he's bigger than the club. That doesn't happen with top tier players.
No, but at the end of the day, it doesn't. You know, I think family now, it's a thing because of social media, right? So like even Haaland's dad has had like words to say about where he's going. So I just think it's probably more social media. But there's also like a way to do it and a way not to do it. And it's just like, I don't think Jesse Lingard, when he, you know, we can get into that. But like the whole, you
let's
know.
Get into that.
Let's table the Jesse Lingard conversation when we get there. Next one here. Manchester United set price for Marcus Rashford exit with Arsenal and Newcastle keen on offer. Marcus Rashford... I can't believe I'm saying this. He might go this summer. Like a player that you thought would never leave might be gone. And this is all this stuff that's coming out, and it's going to come out all summer, right? Because this is like, you're going to see who the leakers were.
Oh, yeah.
And the leakers are Jesse Lingard.
We already knew he was one.
Harry Maguire.
Probably. Marcus.
And Marcus Rashford probably up there, honestly. And this is the type of stuff, because there's always stuff about Marcus leaking. Lingard's leaking. Lingard's talking to Paul Scholes. Remember, he talked about that. And what contingent is this? It's the England contingent. Ronaldo comes in. The England contingent got rubbed wrong. The England contingent went to the final in the Europa League. They, you know, and I honestly do think a lot of the problem with United's start and getting Ole fired was that a lot of these players featured in England, they made it to the final and they lost. And like, you probably need a break. And this season was kind of, maybe it was all about them. I don't know. But we never got it together. And these players were a big problem. And Rashford's looking to be a part of it. And it's unfortunate because you thought Marcus was untouchable. You thought he would never be like this.
Well, this season has changed a lot of things. You know, I don't think, of all the players to get rid of, we got a lot of players, a lot of weight to move. And I would not move Marcus this summer. I'd like to say, like, let's see what he can do under a real manager. He hasn't had really a real manager probably since LVG. Obviously, LVG Mourinho was a real manager, but I think he never really rated him. We didn't see as much of Rashford under Mourinho as probably would have liked. But that being said, like, he had the injury, the whole weird injury thing. And then, like, I think just like England and playing for an England that where they think they're really good and that they haven't won anything goes to their head when you play and listen to the English press. So there has to be kind of a changing of the guard. I think like pulling the captain armband off of Harry Maguire once and for all and giving it to one of the Portuguese lads, whether it be Ronaldo or Bruno, is the right move. And I think we have to start to like act like they're not such a big deal. Like, you know, Shaw, I don't even know. He's available, probably not, but he hasn't been playing. But either way, I think like allow Eric to get in, have his imprint on this. I think Marcus can have a career at United, but this does just show like the fall from grace that he's like looking at Arsenal and Newcastle.
You know, as far as Rashford goes, you know, my gut says it's probably done. You know, my heart says no, Marcus is going to come back and he'll be fine. But now I'm starting to think that you look at that Danny Welbeck and you're like, there's a critical point in your career. You know, I really do think it's sort of like the Paul Pogba, like you get
23, 24, right?
You get the big money deal. How do you react? Do you sit back and me? Or are you like, you know, does that spur you on? Or is that not even an issue, right? You've seen it at United so many times. And as soon as players got like that, it was time to move on. You know, David Beckham, you know, me, Ruben Nistelrooy, all these it's not all these players that kind of go that way where they become too successful.
Ronaldo.
You know, they kind of have to go. And, you know, Rashford, if he thinks Manchester United is the problem, then he absolutely has to go. He seems like broken. It seems like we've fully broken him. Another reason why interim manager is a gamble.
And when you have no continuity.
Because, like, Rangnick could literally have pissed him off so much that by the time Ten Hag comes in, doesn't want anything to do with Manchester United. Another risk of the interim manager, that Woodward, et cetera. It's sad. This is one where, you know, where did it go wrong, Marcus? Where did it go wrong? It's like a relationship you had and you're like, it didn't work out.
Well, think about how they managed it. Remember that? They had like I got the spine surgeon on the pod, so they like, he had a broken back and they kept playing him. Like, so he has been mismanaged. This is not kind of the Paul Pogba, like, woe is me. You know, it's everybody else's fault except for mine. We did mismanage Marcus Rashford. Now, that's not to say like he didn't make certain mistakes around. He got the big surgery, then delayed his return, the way he talked about it. I remember vis-a-vis England camp last summer. But I like to think that there's like there is hope for Marcus. He's not Paul, because Paul, that chapter should be over.
It looks like a meltdown.
It does look like it's looks like it a does full, look like a meltdown.
I remember there was a what was it, the summer? I think Jesse Lingard, Marcus Rashford were out partying, and then Lingard posted like a Snapchat of them in like hotel
last summer,
room.
Right? Wasn't it after the Euros?
No, it was the summer before last. And I was like, that's not a good look. And I could see that Jesse, you know, not speculating, but I could see like Jesse posting it kind of like bringing Rashford into that scene, like whatever it was. You can do whatever you want, just don't post it on social. I think they've struggled with the social aspect of it, using social media for good, but then like trying to, it's been a conflict. And Marcus, him and the Jesse Lingard situation, if they both leave this summer, they're both boys, right? So at the end of the day, they, You know, it's really a sad story. It did Manchester United break him? Was it too much for them too soon? I don't know. It's just a failure across the board, and you hate to see it, because if you were to tell us at the beginning of this year, and this is why being a director of football is so important, could you imagine losing Cavani, Rashford, Martial, and Greenwood?
No. No, and then not doing anything.
Gone. All of them.
Yeah, like it's over. Like the careers are over. Like Greenwood, that came out of nowhere.
That was it. That was the lineup. Like Martial, Rashford, Greenwood. We got Cavani, the elder statesman. We got Ronaldo. We're stacked up front.
I mean, if you've been paying attention, you would have said.
And you'll lose half of them.
Cavani, Ronaldo, you don't need both. But obviously that just kind of came last minute and we were forced to act. Martial has proved that he hasn't had it for a long time. Like they should have sold.
Well, he's worth a punt this season, right? But I'm saying like. Sir, he's on big money.
When do we loan him out? We're going to loan him out in January. We didn't do nothing between August and January.
We're going to pay him to go away.
I know. A lot.
Like $12 million, I think it is. But either way, this is where I think the concern for me is as a United fan, where everyone's thinking like, oh, yeah, the narrative out of the front office is great and everything's great. Like, you can't replace that many players in a window. That's why Marcus is going to be at United. Like, a few of these players.
Same with Harry.
They're going to try to move, and they're not. You would have to sell. How much would you sell Marcus for? 50?
I mean,
40?
But this is a player that, like, in form, they're talking about over $100 million for Barcelona, and now he's like
nothing.
Like I say, he looks like Danny Welbeck. So I think what you have to do is you have to give it another go and not sell him, because we need multiple strikers. There's no reason that you should, like, give him a chance under a real manager with a proper offseason. And then if he's still not going the way, then you get rid of him. But not this. There's so much business to be done, ins and outs, that I think, like, you hold on to Marcus, because $50 million doesn't feel like you're getting a good deal out of it. That feels like selling Lukaku at a loss, then he gets bought for $100 million, even though he doesn't look like he's worth $30
million. It's a tough pill to swallow here. Next article, Chelsea has anti-Glazer clauses in their deal. As far as the government's concerned, they've been given new conditions. They will not be allowed to pay dividends or sell shares for the first decade. And that's exactly what United have been doing. Like, how the Glazers have treated United is literally how the government is negotiating I don't know exactly who's on that side. I think the government might be brokering the deal, but I believe Abramovich is on one side. So whoever's stipulating that they don't act like the Glazers, they're literally putting an anti-Glazer clauses into the purchase agreement here, because they're afraid of somebody just like gutting an English club for their own benefit, which the Glazers are actively doing. And this should be a huge red flag for people who question what we talk about the Glazers. Like, they're literally clauses protecting clubs against what the Glazers do to Manchester United. It is clear as day what they're doing.
And we could have used this clause, like we said, 17, 18 years ago when this actually happened. But this just speaks to, like, these people are not the example you want as an owner. They're the worst owners in the league. They're some of the worst owners in the sport of football. And they've enabled and empowered people to make terrible decisions and piss away money, because it's not like they haven't spent. They pissed away money on like $89 million on Paul Pogba was leaving for a free and going to City. That would be just hilarious. $80 million on Harry Maguire. You know, like, players are leaving on the free this summer. We're gonna sell them at a discount. But at the end of the day, they have shown the type of ownership that cannot be allowed in the sport. Right?
Exactly.
They cannot be allowed, because it's not for the good of the sport. Like, they have destroyed an institution. Manchester United are on their knees. We're a fucking shadow of ourselves. They bought the most successful team in England, like a freaking rocket ship, and then they just handicapped it year after year, didn't invest in nothing until basically, really, they didn't invest nothing into LVG. If you look, at the books, they were holding back Fergie. There's a reason he only won two Champions Leagues. He should have won. He probably should have just kept winning after 09, like straight until 13, left in a blaze of glory, but he was handicapped by them. He didn't say much, because they still pay him $2 million a year to kind of say, hey, the Glazers aren't the problem. That's not the big deal. The big deal is we know they're the problem. Keep the pressure on them. And even the FA knows they're the problem, because there's literally an anti-Glazer clause. Anti-Glazers. Glazers out.
Yep, that's all you need to know. And also, you have to think that this whole purchase of Chelsea has got the Glazers perked up, because there was significant interest. And if you're looking around what's going on in markets around the world right now, this is the main concern, because the time to sell this club, it was probably about 6 months ago. After COVID kind of opened up, everything started going well. This is when they should have been listening to offers. Like, Chelsea being sold at this clip right now, you know, who knows what's around the corner, inflation, et cetera. but it is going to be uncertain times. And are people going to be writing $4 or $5 billion checks? If you're going to pay $4 billion for Chelsea, you got to be thinking $4 or $5 for Manchester United. That's a big ticket for the Glazers. And if they're not going to be cashing in, or if this is not going to get them interested in running a process, who knows? One of the bidders did say, who did not win the Chelsea bid, he did say he's a boyhood Manchester United fan. I think he's the richest man in Europe. He runs Enos.
And he lined a $4 billion bid, which I don't think got accepted. I think you're right. They were American
bidders.
The
American guys, yeah.
American owners. But that being said, sir, like you have to put quite a bit of pen to paper to even get a bid in place, right? You have to spend money on lawyers, spend money on accountants. You have to line up institutional cash. This would be time on a macro basis, you would think. Like, interest rates are going up. It's going to be more expensive to borrow money against the club. At the same time, like, the equity markets are probably going towards a downturn. This would be a great, and there'd be other buyers kind of on the sideline, like, hey, we didn't have that one go through, but is United for sale? This is a better club. Maybe not today. Maybe not day zero. Like, Chelsea has better bones today, better squad, better front office. But, dude, Chelsea are a nothing club compared to Manchester United. So, $4 billion, you would think somebody else, like, point that turret towards United and get the Tampa Bay goons thinking.
Dude, 94th minute, 1-1. Tottenham had a great opportunity for Harry Kane. Oh, my God. It is so nervy.
Harry
Plus
Kane, lap of glory.
Here.
Harry Kane, lap of glory. Oh, watch out.
No. It's going to go. This is going to happen. Liverpool's got, like, they're going to score. I just know that they are. This is absolutely just, oh, I'm so nervous here. All right, last one here. You want to get into Jesse Lingard comments?
I think we should just leave it to old Ralphie, sir. What did he have to say?
Ralph Rangnick. What do you have to say here?
Legend.
Well, to start with, I think in the last couple of weeks under my tenure, he has played far more games than he used to before I came. That's just to start with. Number two, on game day against Chelsea, he contacted me in the hotel and asked me to release him from the game and to also release him from the training session the following day or the 2 days after the Chelsea game for some personal family reasons. And I also allowed him to do that. And this was also the reason, with only three subs, still unfortunately, in all the other leagues you have five subs, I had to take a decision between bringing on Edison Cavani or Jesse Lingard or even the young Alejandro Garnacho, whom I also would have loved to bring on and give him a chance after being 3-0 up. Hadn't I brought on Edison Cavani, maybe somebody else would have posted it was classless not to bring on Edison Cavani, or somebody else might have posted, why didn't the manager bring on...
Classless for not bringing on Edison Cavani. Unbelievable.
So the story is, right, his brother, after the last home game of the season against Brentford, he didn't come off the bench because, you know, every time he's come on, he looked like he had too many meat pies. Looked like he's me at Amex. His brother, I don't know who your brother is, he basically did an Instagram post, classless United. He's given blood, sweat, and tears to this club. Help them win silver. It's like, bro, you're a nobody player. Like, we appreciate it. You're an academy lad, but, like, you're not that good.
You don't need to hate him.
You don't have the brother throwing sand at the fucking club. Like, yeah, this is a classless club because it's run by classless owners.
I'll tell you. You want to get Alex upset?
I'm salty.
Here's the deal.
Tell me the deal.
Why is Rangnick addressing what Jesse Lingard's brother has to say? At the end of the day,
they asked him.
Yeah, and guess what? He said, this guy ain't got no commitment to this team. He's like asking me for a break against Chelsea. I don't care. And that sounds about right. Jesse Lingard's just whinging to Paul Scholes. He's calling it. His brother's sharing things on Instagram. At the end of the day, what did Jesse Lingard do for Manchester United? Honestly, he never reached his potential. He whinged a lot. He went to West Ham. He's posted a lot of stuff about West Ham on social media. He's just been wanting away forever, and I think if you don't show the club respect, you're not going to get respect back. And so to complain about it like a little girl, it's just not a good look. This guy, he's 30 now? I mean, he's not like a kid anymore. It's like you've been around. You never reached your potential. You weren't that great, so get gone. And a lot of Rio Ferdinand didn't get a send-off. This is not a thing at Manchester United. And by the way, these are like real players that have won things for United. So Jesse Lingard... goodbye. Nobody's going to really sing your name. No one's going to wear your jersey. No one's going to remember you really played here. Didn't accomplish anything. So congrats and good luck at whatever mid-table championship team you sign on after the one who signs you in the EPL, and then you fail miserably and then you go down to championship, because that's probably the direction he's headed. That's the commitment level he's got to this club. That's why he wanted to not play against Chelsea.
I mean, a couple of things.
He scored in the FA Cup final that LVG won. He scored in a couple finals. That's fine. We should have sold him years ago. We should have sold him last summer when there was interest from him.
As a sub.
For some reason, yeah. For some reason, they didn't want to take the L on that. And the real thing is, like, what I really like about this, and it doesn't matter because we're not going to get to listen to him, is that Ralf Rangnick is just calling out the spin, bro. He did this earlier. I think it was around Martial or somebody else who, like, threw shots over the bows. And was like, nah, that didn't happen. Like, oh, why didn't I play in the games? Because the game, like, 4 days earlier, you said you're good in the training sessions afterwards. So I'm going to miss this honesty from Ralf Rangnick because we've been missing this. We haven't had this for a decade. No one's been this. I mean, maybe Mourinho, but he was also just so pissed that he had an axe grind. He's being productive. Ralf Rangnick is just, like, straight as an arrow, right down the middle. He doesn't lie. Mrs. Washington, I cannot tell a lie, and that's what I love about this man. He might not be the man on the pitch line to be pulling the strings, but if he was in the front office come June 1st, we'd be in a better place because of it.
No, he has a lot of character. He's an old man in the game. He's made his money. He has his reputation. He's got another job, and he can say whatever he wants to say about Manchester United and Jesse Lingard. And this isn't the first time he's had to, like, say, like, hey, man, that's wrong. Don't you remember earlier he had to say, like, Jesse just, like, asked to leave before and called him out on it? He called out Martial, called out Jesse. He just, and then these players are so thin-skinned, it's like, they can't handle it. So Ralph's like, I did it before. You don't think I'm going to do it again? Here we go. So that's the news. Scouts Bastard did drop points to Tottenham. They almost blew it. That was very nervy. Hard to watch that and do a pod, but I am absolutely happy that this title looks to be going to Manchester. Shitty.
Unless they don't blow it. Unless they blow it.
At the end of the day, you know, you can celebrate that, as sad as it is. Also, shitty. Melting down against Real Madrid, Pep Guardiola, that the bald fraud. Seeing all the reactions from the shitty fans, that was amazing to watch.
That was amazing to watch. I also, like, on the other side of the dial, I loved the Real Madrid fans that left early trying to get back in. I always love that when fans leave early, and them all clamoring to get back in the front door.
You can't in the United States. Once you leave, you can't come back in.
Same in England or Spain, apparently. Yeah.
So it makes sense. Like, you leave, you're not a fan. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it goes.
I was there. I didn't leave early. We were getting thumped 5-0 at home, bro.
I know, Alex. You stayed the whole time.
Fat feet.
Jumping to the fan questions here. Ty Kircher, 90 minutes left. Can't wait. The amount of crap we've had to go through this season deserves a trophy. The Shite Cup, we're going to call that one. At SQL Stinar, let's bring in the entire Brighton team, including coaches. Hey. Maybe their director of football would have been a good option as well. At M. Maybaugh 13, quote, didn't bother me with the last 30 minutes. Completely deserve not fit to wear the shirt chance from the away end. That is a first. The not fit to wear the shirt chance from the away end. That is a first.
I have never heard that in my time. I think we had, like, a little bit of you're fucking shit. Like, we're fucking, like, when we had LVG and things were pretty ugly, I think there was a little bit like us making fun of ourselves, but it was never like at the players, like, you are not fit to wear the shirt. That is a shot across the bow for this club and these fans. That's like something Real Madrid fans would do, who are a very fickle bunch, but usually we're a loyal lot. But, dude, we've been pushed to our limits. These players have shown that, like, they're, like, honestly, I could sack all of them because, dude, they're not even worth it. They're just, you know, even, like, the Rashford, we talked about that. You want to give them another chance, but it's like, I don't care. If someone wants to pay $60 million and we can replace them with a hungry player, I'd take that.
At Fairway Freddy, I hate the offseason, but this death by 1,000 goals is too much. Is there a light in the tunnel or the train's coming? I think I hear it. Choo-choo, it's coming down the tunnel here. Add I know it all. This is great. Let 11 fans start against Crystal Palace. It'll at least be a good laugh. 100%.
We'll be there. Don't start me. I'm good. They were doing the hack the half earlier.
I'm ready to go. Play in the center mid. I'll play in the midfield run. I can slow jog like Pogba. I can do a Pogba impersonation.
11 minutes? I think you do 11 minutes, pull your calf, and then call it.
All right, we're going to end with this scorcher here. At Meacher 1024, we are such absolute fucking shit. I went to the Cavs playoff game instead of watching their bullshit. Turns out a good call. 4-0 embarrassing. A lot of fans putting on Twitter, they're not even watching the games, and they're glad because they see how bad the result is. One more game to go. Crystal Palace away. United, the American Red Devils, will be on the road in London. What a great time. Cannot wait. We'll be going to the game. Getting you podcasts across the pond. We will be doing a preview match probably next, because no game next weekend. We'll probably do a preview next weekend. We'll do a pod when we land in London before the game. We'll do one after the game. And then that's a wrap on the season. Thank you to everyone who's listened to this podcast. This has to be the worst season I can remember as a Manchester United fan. We've been watching the team since the early 2000s, and this is by far the lowest of the low. The bloated wages, the high money players that aren't trying, two managers couldn't get anything out of them, and the board trying to spin in the press with, you know, hey, we got a good manager, he could be our savior. You never know, but usually the slide lasts another 20. It probably includes a new owner.
Easy,
you
know? 20. Hey, here's some positivity. We got some positivity. This Wednesday, the 11th of May, 11:30 Pacific, 2:30 Eastern. It is the FA Youth Cup. United is playing Nottingham Forest. Watch it. I think it's on MUTV. That's the only problem. Maybe someone else will be covering it, but I think at the moment, I'd only seen the MUTV will have the game. But I believe United's already sold 50,000 tickets. You know, they're a dollar each, and it's all going to the foundation. But something to hold our hats on. I mean, unfortunately, the last group of players that won the Youth Cup for us was Jesse Lingard, Paul Pogba, and the
Marcus
other...
Marcus Rashford.
No, Rashford was not in it because he was too young. The other guy who like completely had a fizzle-out career...
Fosu Mensah?
No, Morrison. What's his name? But I can't remember his name. Anyway, Ravel Morrison.
Yeah, Ravel Morrison.
Anyway, let's hope that this crew of players can be integrated into this team a little bit differently.
It's a good sign.
Really good player. Something to watch for, and maybe a piece of silverware that we can lift this year.
Absolutely, sir. All right, that is it. That is the podcast. We'll get you one next week. We'll preview the Crystal Palace match. Cannot wait to go to a game. It's been way too long for myself. And obviously, if you want to support the podcast, check out our website, www.americadevils.com. Check out our store. Check out our Patreon, www.patreon.com/americaredevils. Also, join our Discord channel. It's an absolute riot. We're going to end it with a chant aimed at Manchester City because they absolutely balled the Champions League. Yeah, love to see the bald fraud himself absolutely collapse. Everyone, have a great week. And enjoy that 4-0.